Vator, Hinei HaMelech, Asher B'chartem. Here's the king who you chose. Everybody see it? Perkir Beis, Pesukim Gimel. You have it? It's not on the first page. It's further along. No, you have to use the handout, which starts with Aleph Yud Aleph, this handout, but not on the first page. Okay? Vata, Hinei HaMelech Asher B'chartem. Now, here's the king who you chose, Asher She'eltem, who you asked for. Hinei HaNasan Hashem L'Aleichem Melech Hashem has put upon you a king. Im Tiru Es Hashem. If you will fear God, Vavadetem Oso, and you're going to worship him, Vavushmatem Mekolo, and you're going to listen to his voice, Losamos Pi Hashem, and you will do not rebel against the word of God, the statements of God. Yisim Gamatem, and you will be Gavamel Hashem Malach Aleichem, and you and the king will you taken as king upon you, Ach Hashem Lokechem behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're not going to listen to the voice of Hashem, and you're going to go against that which Hashem said, then the name of hand of God will be against you and against your fathers as well. Very interesting passage. So Chazal says, clearly Shmuel is telling them that Hashem has granted Bnei Yisrael the option of using the kingship for the right purposes. Ultimately, everything depends on how they utilize Hashem's gift. In Pasuk Tez Vav, Rashi brings down, in other words, it's going to be against you, Pashup Shad, it's going to be, the hand of God is going to be against you after it's been against your forefathers. Rabbi Sein Armun, our forefathers, and our Rabbeim say, that they're going to dig up graves. And even the dead will be desecrated in that they're going to dig up the graves of our dead ancestors. So this is considered to be desecration of dead bodies is considered to be a very negative thing, a very bad thing. And this will be part of the punishment of the present generation, that through their sins are going to activate punishment against the previous generations. Now, it's hard to understand exactly why, you know, uncovering graves of ancestors is a punishment for the present generation. But obviously in Kleistel there's, you know, an intrinsic unity between previous generations and the current generation. So if this generation sins, it's not just taken out against this generation, but it arouses the wrath of God against previous generations who committed similar sins. The interconnectedness causes punishment not just to devolve upon us, but upon our forefathers who sinned with this previous similar sins as well. Okay?
Wouldn't they have received
proper punishments? No. Because they're responsible for having left children, which committed heinous crimes as well. They're getting even more punished, right? Yes. Yes, certainly. Yeah, anytime they say, Chazal tells, this Chazal tells it that desecrating dead bodies is considered to be a punishment to Klal Yisrael. Yeah, certainly they use sources like this.
Is there a mention of this sort of thing anywhere else? I know you have
to take
money from another way.
No, that's the same way. Right. Right, it's going backwards. You had this a couple of times in Tanakh. I seem to recall we've had it a couple of times, but I don't recall offhand where. But yes, there is such concept of that the punishment travels back up the generation and climbs back up as well. Yeah. Okay? Gamatar, Pasuk Tesain, and also now, come together and come and see this great thing, which God is going to do before your very eyes. Is today not the harvest day? The harvest of wheat. Ekro Hashem, going to call out to God. We think cold so much is going to make there be thunder and rain, even though it's a crystal clear day. Udu, and you should know, Guru, and you should see, Kirashem Rabbah, that you committed a grave iniquity, a very bad thing. Hashem, see them in Hashem, know what you have done in the eyes of God. We shall have to ask for yourselves a king. Vaikrosh bo Hashem, so Shmuel called out to Hashem. Vaiten Hashem called to Mata, Hashem made thunder and rain by Yom Hu on that day. Vayira kolam meodis Hashem, and Shmuel, needs to say, the nation is very afraid of Hashem and of Shmuel. So let's see the Malbim here. Turn back to the previous page. In Yud Zayin in the Malbim, in the Dvar Shmuel. Halok tiyachitim ayom. It's today not the grain harvest. V'zetiru, did you say Aleph, one? Ki aden hashgachos v'nisi tovka b'chem. You're still on a level in which miracles can occur to you. V'ken, if that's the case, lo yolachem libchor melech. You shouldn't have chosen a king. Sheoshia etchem will save you. Kifi atzeva. Based on nature. Achashatem no shoy me ashkocha, because you are saved as a result of ashkocha. So you didn't need a king because you're under direct divine control. V'zeshakosu, and that's that which he says, kiraschem rabo, your evil is great, asher asisim in Hashem, that you have done in the eyes of God. But so my means to say, shasisim negade in Hashem ashkochos aleichem, that which you have done against the eyes of God and his control over you. Base, furthermore, achashapela zeisavei de tfiloso, since this amazing thing is going to happen through God, through Shmuel's davening, yo'aloyalchem libgo, but you should not have been treacherous against me. Because I could have caused another thunder against the Plishtim in order to overwhelm them. Come on, it's like he did once before, Lamala Zion. Possession, Amenat, Sabbat, says, a crawl, Hashem, eating, close to mother, going to call to God, he's going to make there be thunder and rain. Canal. With this, he gave them an oath against the two things he's been debating with them above. A gimel, in other words, about the fact that they can still subject to Nisim and that the tefillah works. Gimel me'oz ba'atzmo, from the voices, from the sign itself. Shua motzer ba'kolz, which is rain and thunder. Shem tomim be'zera, which are good when it's they're planting. V'roim b'kaitz, and bad in the summer. Tavino, you should understand, ki gamatem shalta dover shlobano, so you also had something which was quote-unquote not seasonal. If a king would be good to you after my death, when you're underneath the rule of nature, it's bad for you while I'm still alive, while God himself still protects you. So here the Malbim is telling us a very basic thing. Shmuel's powers are not at end. Shmuel's philos, Shmuel's nisim, you guys are still on the level of the days of the Shoftim, which is to live on a level of l'mala min ha-teva, where nature is subordinate to you, you're not subordinate to nature. Your request of a king actually exposes yourself to the rule of nature. You idiots! I'll show you that I still have the power to save you with my tefillos and with nisim and live above nature. But now you guys requested a king, that means you requested to live under this way of nature. It's amazing words I heard, I think, from Reb Chaim Chorsky. I remember in whose name he said it. He said there's a... they complained about the mon, right? So why did they complain about the mon in the midbar? They could taste in the mon any taste they wanted. What kind of complaint? What, are you crazy? It can be pizza, it can be a steak, it can be ice cream. You're complaining. What kind of complaint is that? So he said, the shot is that the mon, you have to have kavana for it to be pizza, ice cream, you know, steak, whatever it was, chocolate. They said, it's bad enough we have to be mechavin during davening. You want us to have kavana while we're eating as well. So the chesaron was not in the mon. The chesaron is, we don't want to be so holy. We don't have kavana while we're eating. While we're eating, we're just fresh and forget about kavana. So they're good parts. So Shmuel was accusing Klai Yisrael of a similar syndrome. They were able to achieve great miracles. They're able to live on a very high level of existence. It's as if they're saying, we don't want it. We want to live under kings. We want to be like all other nations, which wage wars and have politics and live like that. So Shmuel is proving to him, this was not the right time. You shouldn't have done this. Improper. That's what happened here. Okay? Now, if you turn to my notes. What? Same packet. Both packets. Come, Mr. Bramlett, sit here. Uh, Yeah, when you chess. No, 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 fine. We're on the new handout already. But first, we're in the last page, my notes. Over here. The Reb Tzadik speaks about this parak is after for which parsha? It says here. Which parsha? No, we didn't mention. I don't know if I mentioned, but it's not. Maybe I did, but it's Korach. Korach. So Rav Tzadik mentions what's the connection to Korach. By Shaykh the Parsha Zu, the Shaykh the Parsha of Korach is Mashomar Shmuel. Some people say it's Mashomar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "As Shomi Lakach, did I take any oxen for Goymer?" The Goymer Loshim Moshe Rabbeinu of Parsha Zu is like Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Lo Chamor Echad Meim Nasasi." I never took even any of their oxen. First page of my notes. I never took any of their donkeys. But who racked sass? Shivu. That's only a little bit of an equation. Achayin of Shad is like this. Shekola Pashu Meinian Shechide Shmuel Amalucha Lashol. So to say that Shmuel gave the kingship to Shol. When we come to none less Amalahem, he said to him, Musser. Varma, he said, Duru, see and know, ki raschem rabbah, that you did this rotten thing, Asher Asisimene Hashem to ask for a king, Lashol Chemelech. Vechainin Kairach, and Korach did the same thing. Shenechla Klorach Alkuna Saram Bilvad, he didn't just argue on Aaron's Kuna, Kim Gamam Luchas Moshe, who's also upset of Moshe being king. To be clear, are you a Shoftim, Ganki Melachim? The truth is that before Shaul, the Shoftim were also kings. They just didn't always go to war. Sometimes they just judged them. And Shmuel helped them by davening. Through this, they went out to war and they won. And that's what it says. Today is the harvest of wheat. Call to God. He could do everything with his tefillah, like the Malbim said. Moshe was also a king. He was trying to come out of Egypt. He gave them on the desert, the bear and the well. He didn't go out to war. He sat on the rock, right, a couple of weeks ago, Parsha. Rock Bechinas Melch Bekoyach HaTorah. He was a king with the Koyach of Torah. The Rabbanan Ikri Melochi, because rabbis are also called kings. Bekoyach Nechlak Alzeh. Koyach. He was upset. Just like Bnei Yisrael took issue here with Shmuel. They didn't want a spiritual king. They wanted to have a Bachar B'melech Kedera Kol HaGoyim. Korach said, we don't want you to be a spiritual leader. We don't want that. You want to be a king to wage war? Of course we need a king to wage war. That we're willing to stomach. We don't want the spiritual leadership. We don't want rabbis. That we don't want. All we want is Asher Yetzel Lifneim, the Mechama, somebody to go out to war. Now I want to tell you on the side, a very important thing that Reb Tzadik says, and the Yidvitzer and this says, his Rebbe, and they all say, he says, truth is Korach is right. And he says, Reb Tzadik says a couple of times, very powerful statement, he says, HaNefesh HaYisraelis Lo Tizbo Shum Hisnasus. Jews cannot stand that another Jew is over them. It's antithetical to the nature of Jews to have this constant superiority. What? No, that's not a Jewish song. But it's not Nachskostan. But in any event, the thing is that it really, it's not because you should look askance at him, but you should want to be as high as that individual. You want to be as high as the Talmud Chacham. So Korach, in that respect, was right. They were all should be on that level. Just that, unfortunately, they weren't, so it was an unrealistic request. But certainly, what Korach was begrudging is that Moshe Rabbeinu was above them in spirituality. Couldn't tolerate that. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. I don't care if you want to be a physical king, but you want to be a spiritual king, that we can't be soivel. It was a mistake, but that's what he was saying. And here too, Bnei Yisrael was saying, we know Shmuel, you're a good rebbe for us. We don't want a rebbe, we want a king. We want a prime minister. That's what they were saying, that's the connection between the two parshas. And Shmuel starts saying them, showing them by this miracle, you're wrong, you're idiots, you should have lived on this matrego where my tefillah and my nisim were going to help you. And you would have been on a much higher spiritual level, you would have been doing what you're supposed to do in this world to a much greater extent. They refused to listen. Okay, so they made that, so Shmuel makes the miracle. Pasuk test. The pasuk is chesarik. Rather, vaikra shmuel, Hashem shmuel calls out to Hashem. Vaitin Hashem kolos sumata. Hashem causes to be thunder and rain. Vayomu on that day. Vayrokol on Moses. Hashem and Shmuel. So the nation was very afraid of Hashem and of Shmuel. Vayomu kol on Shmuel. The whole nation said to Shmuel, Hispalel bar avadecha, daven for your servants. El Hashem to Hashem Elokecha, Baal Nomus, and we shall not, so that we shall not die. Ki Yosavna Chalkocha, the sin of Rokh, because we added to all our sin another evil, we shall learn a melch to ask for ourselves a king. Vayom Shmuel, Amso Shmuel said to the nation, Alti Ro, don't be afraid. Atem Atisim is called Razos. It's true you did something very bad. Ach Alto Surume Achre Hashem. In the future, don't go away from Hashem. Vavatem es Hashem b'cholavavchem, and serve God with all of your heart. V'lo tasura, do not sway. Ki achrei atov, because you're going to go after the void and emptiness. Asher lo yo'ilu, which do not help. V'lo yatzilu, do not save. Ki so'em, because they are void. So Shmuel is telling him that you did something bad. And that which you're asking is a bad thing. But in any event, once you recognize the danger, you have a remedy. You should just do the right thing. In other words, follow Kadosh Baruch Hu from here on in. You are the king, and everything will be good. The Malvin points out in Pasuk Chaf Aleph that, you'll take a look in the Malvim here, in the Dvar Shmo, he says, Lo Tasuru, Iyam Shartes Tasuru Mimeno Klal. He says, it's not a command. Don't go away from God. It means you're stuck. Judaism is something you're stuck with. Lo tasuru is a prediction. You will never be able to separate from Hashem. And you should know, as a result, you can't look forward to getting any advantage to by any other foreign gods. Because they're void and they have no toelis. They won't save. May it run from any negative thing. Their school, and don't think that there's some magical, mystical thing in Avodah Zarah should do any good. Kito, Emel, Gamri, they're completely null and void. So you won't be able to be sar, and even if you are sar, you won't find anything in them. There's nothing in them. They are completely empty. They're completely, the Yonasan Ben Uziel says here, they are, if you take a look here in Puzzle Chavav, he says, they're Luma. Spell with an aleph, but the same thing as for naught. For what? They don't do anything. They have no purpose. Lama, why should you even follow them at all? Interesting thing here is that he calls them toe. So toe, we know Chazal tell us, is not just toe bavo that we have here, Brachos, void and empty, but you know the Chazal say that the 2,000 years before Avraham Avinu were called the years of toe. Then starting from Avraham Avinu comes the years of Torah. So Tov means things are purposeless. Before Avraham Avinu came, there was a purposelessness in the world. So here too, Hashem is telling them, or Shmuel is telling them, any other foreign worship is purposeless. It doesn't have any tachlis. Okay, this leads to the next first stirring, very, very stirring pasuk, very famous pasuk. God will never forsake his nation. In other words, do the right thing because you can't be sar. You're not capable of being sar. You're Jews and you're stuck with it. And in turn, God has a pact with you. He will never forsake his nation. Because Hashem's name is Klal Yisrael. We are called by Hashem's name. We are the Am Hashem. And Hashem is committed to us as part and parcel, as an extension of himself. Because Hashem has desired to make you for him a nation. And as long as I'm around, Sir Shmuel, you should know even more than that. Even though you could have just relied on my tefillah, and my tefillah and my miracles would have been enough for you. Regardless, I'm not going to forsake you. Now that you've tried to get rid of me, you can't do it so fast. I'll still daven for you. God, Pasachav Kimel, Gamanochi, Chalilali, Milachto, Michatol Hashem. Far be it for me to sin to a God. Mechadol Yisrael Barchem, for me to stop down with you would be to sin myself. If I have the capacity to down with you, I don't, that's a sin. And I will still, as long as I'm around, Tishmur, Varesi, Eschem, Bederech, Hatov, Eshor, I will keep you going on the good and straight path. Ach, you, Es Hashem, but fear God. Vavadatem also, and worship Him, and not just superficially, Be'emes, with truth. Bechol of Avchem, with all of your emotions. Kiru, because you should see Asher Yitilamachim that God did you many favors, especially that you asked for a king for your own rotten ulterior motives. But he gave you a good king. He gave you Shol, a tzaddik, Muram Me'am, somebody unique in order to lead you. V'imorei Tareu, if you're going to, however, to do the bad thing, and a bad thing, I guess, is not to be Oved Hashem Be'emes, but to be Oved Hashem just superficially. Kamatem, both you, Kamal Kochem, also you, your king, Tisafu, will be eradicated. Now, there's an interesting pasuk which you all know from Kabbalah Shabbos. And probably most of you pronounced wrong, because I also pronounced it wrong till I looked it up. Moshe v'Aaron b'kornav u'shmua b'korei shmo. How do you read that pasuk? Moshe v'Aaron b'kornav, or Moshe? You read it, Moshe v'Aaron b'kornav, or Moshe kama v'Aaron b'kornav. How do you read that pasuk? What? Hi, where was Moshe going? So you read it Moshe v'Aaron v'Kohanav, right? But you were right the first time. You're wrong this time. Because Moshe served as a Kohen during the Shiva Simei Miluim. And according to some opinions, he served in the Midbar the entire 4 years of the Kohen whenever he wanted. But Lamaisa, that's amazing puzzle. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav in their kahuna to Hashem, and Shmuel b'Korei Shemo, and Shmuel by calling out to Hashem, Korim el Hashem, they call to Hashem and Huyah name, and Hashem answered them. And clearly David HaMelech in that Tehillah is referring to this mice over here, when Shmuel calls to Hashem and Hashem answers him. So you see what happens here? Moshe and Aaron are being compared to Shmuel. Who's bigger? There's a balance being made here. Moshe and Aaron are one side, Shmuel on the other side, equal. No, Shmuel might even be bigger, right? Shmuel's bigger, right? Shmuel's bigger than each one. Shmuel, but he doesn't need kahuna, he just asked by davening. So what's pshat? How can the David HaMelech equate Shmuel to Moshe Aaron? Okay, David could have been a little biased because Shmuel anointed him, but even accounting for that bias, how can he, what does this mean?
Can you tell
me
that it means that there is an analogy between Kohanim portion of Moshe Aaron and the prayer portion of Shmuel?
That itself is a big chiddush.
It's a chiddush, but it's not saying that Shmuel is greater than Moshe. Moshe was enough.
Sounds like it to me.
No, Moshe could do through his kahuna. Yeah. And just through the kahuna.
Okay, so we have, okay, good, no, I like what you're saying. You're saying that what they accomplished in their kahuna, he accomplished
Moshe
with...
Moshe can still be greater than.
Yeah.
And Shmuel could be a lesser than. He's not talking about that.
But it's hard to say that Shmuel... it's hard to say that Shmuel was equated with Moshe Aaron because of what he accomplished with his own tefillah. Yeah, it's a chiddush, right. So Reb Tzadok explains, it's a little bit similar to what you're saying, but not quite. He says that Shmuel is equated with Moshe Aaron because Shmuel made Nevuah widespread, and he made tefillah a tool for retrieving revelation and higher spirituality. He made all that widely available for Christ, which Moshe Aaron did not. In other words, Moshe Aaron, perhaps they didn't have to because the door day on, they saw all these nisim anyway. But Moshe Aaron, they linked between Am Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu with kahuna, with priesthood, which is nice, good, and holy, but it's not enough for the common man. Because that means that, oh, you got to be a Kohen in order to have that link or be attached to a Kohen. Shmuel started making the Nevuah widespread. He made the power of Tefillah accessible to everybody. What? Yeah.
Shmuel went to the nation.
He went to the people, yeah.
And to Moshe, they have to come to him.
That's a very good point. Moshe sat. Moshe, in the last expansion, we see sat, and people had to come. But Shmuel, we know, went from city to city going around. So that could be, then he could explain the pasuk Shmuel, but Korei Shmuel means he was not the Daven, but he went everywhere, and it was Korei B'Shem Hashem. It's a nice track, yeah, it's very nice. So that's not like Reb Tzadok. Shmuel, but Korei Shmuel means in davening to Hashem. But you're saying being Mekadei Shem Shemayim by going in all these places. So really, the equation is not being made in terms of greatness, but in terms of accomplishment. And Shmuel accomplished a great deal in a way similar to Moshe. Moshe now established Christ, so he established the Jewish nation and the patterns of Avodas Hashem, but Shmuel is the one who made it available to all the segments of Christ, so in a way which gave him that that equation to Moshe now. He's a populist, right? Okay, at the end of this parak, the Ra'bag goes through the Toel Yost, the 24 reasons why, the 24 reasons, 24 bad things which we learned from the last few parakim. Let's go through that. Turn to my notes. Translate them all to English. The bottom of the first page. You see that? The Torah of the Rabbat? You see that? Everybody see that? Okay, first of all, number one, even if one is preoccupied with leadership, Am Yisrael, one should not forsake the proper chinuch of one's own children. We learned that out from Eli, because his children really became rotten. And Shmuel's kids too. Shmuel lost the lineage. Shmuel lost the lineage of Shoftim, and in fact, the reason why Shaul became king is because he wasn't mechanic his kids properly. He was too busy involved with Klal Yisrael, with claw work, that he wasn't able to mechanic his own kids, and therefore they weren't of the same stature. That's what Klal Yisrael asked for a king. By the way, you see that a lot of times, a great Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim, they simply can't be mechanic their own kids. They're too dedicated to, their own readership to be behind their kids properly. And the Rabbat goes so far as to say that, you know, because Shmuel wasn't behind his own kids properly, it led to the Golus. Also, because had Shmuel and the line of Shoftim and Nevi'im continued, then you wouldn't have needed Malchus Beis David. And as one of those Malchus Beis David did, was ultimately they muffed up badly, and Korban Bayis Rishon occurred. So Shmuel not had been Mechanical's kids a little bit better, then the whole goal should not have occurred. It's an amazing statement by the Rabbah. Number two, if you see someone involved in an activity that will ultimately be damaging to them, you should try to dissuade them from it. That's why Shmuel tried to dissuade Klal from asking for a king. Number three, if you cannot dissuade them, try to control the potential damage. And that's why the king chosen was a good one. In other words, although Hashem and Shmuel could have taken revenge on Klal and appointed a rotten king, they gave Klal a good king. Number four, a person should safeguard his property as much as possible. This we learn out from the fact that Kish sent Shaul, his son, not just his servant, his unnamed servant, to go look for the lost donkeys. Number five, Aranovi makes a point of stressing Shaul's power of intuition. This is a remarkable thing that Rabbah says, one of a couple of remarkable ones. Shaul's power of intuition, Shaul at one point says, you know, I'm afraid if we keep looking for us the Sonos, then my father's going to worry about us and not about the donkeys anymore. So the Rabbah says the Navi stresses Shaul's intuition, which was correct, in order to show us that he had a very powerful sense of intuition, which the Rabbah says is a preparatory phase or a lower phase of Nevuah. People have intuition. A good intuition, they're closer to Nevuah. Intuition is part and parcel of Nevuah. You develop it, you make it more divine, that's Nevuah. So it shows that Shaul had a Madrega of Nevuah already built into him before he started getting to Nevuah. Number six, don't get too overwrought and involved in looking for your property. In other words, Shaul realized at some point to break off from looking for his property and to go home, if necessary. Number seven, we learned the value of Pidyonis. You know what Pidyonis are? When you go to a Rebbe for a bracha, you know you have to pay for it, right? Everybody knows that. So, if a Rebbe comes to Chicago, you want to get a bracha, you have to pay for it. So we learned, so the Rabbah says, that's that when they went to Shmuel, they also had to give him a pidyon, right? It says there that they had to give him a little gift. So Rabbah says it's not the monetary value. They gave him a very small token gift. They didn't have any money with them. It's also not that Shmuel needed a gift. Shmuel never took gifts. But there's a specific meditative value, a mystical kind of thing, if you give me something, then it's easier for me to meditate on your needs and your issues. So therefore, Shmuel used to take these little token gifts so he can meditate and focus more on the person who came to ask him for some nevuah or some etzah. Number eight, don't hesitate to follow suggestions even from your inferiors. That's why we say that for the fact that Shaul listened to the suggestion of his nar to go see Shmuel and ask him about the donkeys. Number nine, we learned, like Ameritech says, call ahead. Shaul ascertained that Shmuel, where Shmuel was and whether he was there before pursuing him and going to look for him. Number 10, if you understand that a questioner requires more information than he specifically requests, then you should provide it. Like when Shmuel asked the Shol and says not, asked the girls at the entrance of the city if Shmuel was there. Now they say Shmuel was in the city, but they gave him explicit instructions how to get there. And Shmuel himself, Shol met him in the street and asked him, where's the Roeh? So Shmuel just didn't say, oh, you go that way. He said, I'm him, and you, I know you want to ask about the donkeys. The donkeys have been found. Okay? Number 11, the Navi stresses Shmuel's greatness. In that very kin to Moshe Rabbeinu, he received the Nevuah in full possession of his faculties, identifying Shmuel as a candidate for king. But Shmuel was told he didn't have to go into a trance. Most of the Navi have to go into a trance in order to receive a Nevuah. Shmuel got a waking Nevuah, telling him, this guy in front of you, he's my candidate for king. Number 12, the Navi buttresses, should we say the Navi buttresses, he strengthens our Amunah Nevuah by telling us Shmuel's immediate, unsolicited response concerning the Asonas, in other words, that Shmuel knew what Shmuel was looking for. 13, we learn, flee from positions of authority. Shmuel fled, right, he ran away from being the king. Not good to be in a position of authority. A lot of criticism, a lot of responsibility, and the pay's not too good either.
You're the best candidate.
What?
Show is the best person.
Of course, there is mitigating circumstances, but show you there is a mile in fleeing from it as well. Yeah. Number 14. Honor a person based on his eventual, not present stature. That's why Shmuel gave Shmuel the best portion and foretold for him where the Asonos were in order to give him the covet which is due to him as a king, even though he wasn't yet the king. Tangentially, you see also that Nevuah relates to coincidences. I misread my own handwriting here. Shmuel foretold for Shmuel what would happen to him on his way back home, which he didn't have to tell him, but he told him in order to give honor to him as a king. Coincidentally, we see here that what Nevuah also can foretell, not just events which are cataclysmic or major or wrought by God directly, but even things which might occur coincidentally, because Rabbah holds that all the events which happened to Shmuel after he met Shmuel all were coincidences. They weren't part, like we learned at the time, of a master plan in making, preparing Shmuel for kingship. Number 15, we learn from the psukim which preceded us the validity of a go-roll, because they made a lottery to identify Shmuel as a king. Number 16, we learn it's proper to give suitable honor to a king, and that the pasuk criticizes the people who didn't give proper honor to Shmuel. Number 17, on the other hand, people on high spiritual levels should not care if they receive proper respect or not, even if it may jeopardize their position, because Shmuel, when he didn't get covered, so he just went home. Number 18, those who have appointed someone to a position of authority should then provide him with the wherewithal to execute his tasks. In other words, if you make Shmuel a king, you don't give him a budget. What's it good? Shmuel, when he had to go home and he had to go back to grazing his cattle. There are these cheap Jews. They made him king. They didn't give him any budget to carry out his kingship. It's not nice. It's not right. Ravak says you have to learn from this a lesson. Number 19, cruelty will have negative results. I don't know if there's much of a chiddush, but Nachash Amoni, who said he wanted to gouge out the right eye of every Jew, that ultimately was his downfall. Number 20, spiritually lofty people should also possess the gvura to aid their nation. In other words, if you're a spiritually holy person, you shouldn't be a nebuchal. Shmuel was a very high person. He was meek also, tzanuah, introverted, but when the time came, which came to shove, he got the courage to go out and wage war against the goy. Number 21, don't be hasty with the death penalty. Rabbah was anti-death penalty. Because after Shmuel successfully waged war against Nachash Amoni, so they said, let's kill all the people who didn't accept your kingship. So Shmuel said, it's not so important, it's not important for us to kill them. What? True, but you're right, he extended that too far. But the lesson we learn is that you should be careful, wary, and meeting out the death penalty. So Shmuel was a Democrat. Number 22, a king must augment his status to be feared. And that's why Shmuel made a great spectacle about renewing the Melucha after Shmuel Shmuel vanquished Nachash Amoni. This is the meaning also in Chana's Tefillah, V'yitein Oz L'malko, that Shmuel eventually will give strength to the king. In other words, he will fortify and buttress the kingship by making this great spectacle of the Chiddush HaMelucha. Number 23, Hashem fulfilled the servant's request. That's why when Shmuel asked for rain, he got it. And Rabbi Bob says, just on the fly, he says that the rain is a symbolism of the futility of the kingship. Bob was anti-monarchy. As he says, the rain in at the time of the harvest does no good. So it's to show that kingship in and of itself, the monarchy, is not a good thing. Finally, number 24, not to do a favor. Here, if Shmuel were not to daven for Klai Yisrael when they were in trouble and he was capable of doing so, would have been a chait. And that's why Shmuel says he has to daven, he'll continue to daven for Bnei Yisrael. Okay, let's start Perek Yudim and come to one of the most problematic psukim in all of Tanakh, in my humble opinion. No, it's more than that. If you could do somebody a favor, you have to do it to them because it's me. Even if you are a chaser, if you have to put effort in, right? You have to put effort in. That's proper, that's Jewish. Okay? It's amazingly difficult to grab by don't even know what to do with it. Ben Shana Shol B'Molcho. Shol, I translate literally. Shol was 1 year old when he became king. Ushtei Shani Malachai Yisrael, and he was king for 2 years. How would he do the pasuk like this? Amazing, isn't it? So obviously there's something very, very wrong here. So, the Mepharshim all go to town on this pasuk, needless to say. First of all, you look at the Targum says, Kavar Shona Galeis Bei Chivin, like a one-year-old person who had no sins, Cain Shol's Kadmal, Sotu Shol was like he was innocent of sin when he became king. But Tantech Nimach, he thought he was king for 2 years. Now, that's one interpretation, that he was Ben Shana means that he was without sin. There are a couple of other interpretations. One interpretation, for instance, which Rabbah gives, is that the events which we discussed about Shol till now all took a year, and there are at least two more to come. Or that he was that he had formulated a plan for the coming year, which is Ben Shana Shol B'Malcho. Shol has a plan for the coming year. It's a little bit difficult to fit into the words, but that's what the Malbim says. The major problem is that it's very hard to say that Shol was only king for 2 years or 3 years, assuming that it was 1 year before and 2 years afterwards. There are so many things which occur in Shol's reign. It's very hard to say it happened that quickly in the span of 3 years. In fact, later on we're going to see that David, in the course of his hiding from David, the Christian Bible show, spent a year and four months in Ziklag, down by the Philistines. So you've got to say that of the 2 years that Shaul was king, right, he was running after David for only 8 of those months, right? And even less, because he didn't start running after David all the time. Now that the Marie Croyer says that, brings up from the Seder Olam, that Shaul was 28 when he became king. No. If he became king, he was king for 2 years. How old is he when he died? 30. How old was David when he became the king? 30. So that means that Shaul and David were the same age. So Shaul took a nar. David was the same age. And David was best friends with Yonasan, who couldn't have been more than half his age. All the psukim are very, very difficult. Everything is very, very difficult. So, before I tell you what I have to say, I asked today one of the very distinguished Talmidei Chachamim in the yeshiva, and he pointed out to me a Tosfos in Barbat Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. And there, two Amoraim are discussing, it's an amazing thing. Two Amoraim are discussing that Seres Adibros. And one has the other one, a Pshat in one of the Pesukim of Seres Adibros. So the Amoraim says, until you ask me Pshat, you should ask me if I know what it says in that Seres Adibros. And Taisa says, from here we have a Raya, that the Amoraim didn't necessarily know Pesukim. They weren't a Pekim in Tanakh, they didn't know Tanakh too well. And this Talmid Chacham in the yeshiva today told me that sometimes you find midrashim which show that Chazal weren't
in touch with the psukim themselves so directly. So some of the midrashim about, if you take it literally, that Shaul was only king for 2 years, like we find a couple of gemaras, it simply cannot fit sham psukim in the other places. So the puzzle sources on this pasuk, in other words, sure, treif sources, they say that the girsa here is wrong. And really the girsa should be that Shaul became king when he was 30, and he was king for 22 years, or 32 years, and there's a digit missing where it says shtei shanim, it means 2 years plus. And that's what it says, something like that in the Septuagint. But we don't like looking at treif sources, so let's see if we can find some answers to some kosher sources. Yes. You're saying good. So let's turn here to a few sources which I have here. You turn this, I have from Mr. Zuger's Tanakh, the Judaic Press Tanakh. I photocopied a couple of pages. Anybody see his pages? He has an annoying habit of using letters for the fellowship. I can't stand this. But anyway, the second half of the verse, anybody see that in the middle of the commentary digest? The second half of the verse states that Saul reigned 2 years, which are Rashi and K, Radak, except literally after S.O., Seder Olam, which is a Medrash. Other exegetes, that means commentators, however, in YU they have a course, Biblical Exegesis, so you know what they call it. Slang. Biblical exegeshka. So at any event, other exegetes, however, question the possibility of crowding all the events of Shaul's reign into 2 years. We therefore have deviating opinions regarding the 2 years mentioned in this verse. G, that's the Rabak, explains thus. 1 year had elapsed from Shaul's anointment until his kingdom was confirmed in Gilgal, and after he had reigned 2 years, he chose 3,000 men, etc., which the pasuk goes on to say. I, that's the Mari Krah, explained that Shaul reigned for 2 years before David was anointed. After David's anointment, he was like a king without a crown, i.e. his rule was greatly weakened, and he always lived in fear and worry. A, that's Abarbanel, accepts these opinions, and writes at length the chronology from entering into Eretz Yisrael until the building of the temple. He maintains that Shmuel lived much longer than the traditional 52 years. In chapter 7, 2, the ark was in Kiryat Seirim for 20 years, and afterwards the house of Israel was drawn after the Lord. Hence, Shmuel lived the 40 years of Eli's judgeship, 20 years that the ark was in Kiryat Seirim, and 5 or 6 years before Shaul's anointment. And if we say that Shmuel was born 10 years before Eli's appointment as judge, we find Shmuel 75 or 76 years old at Shaul's anointment. He was then literally old and hoary. How long he reigned thereafter is immaterial. Shaul reigned 17 years. Otherwise, his son Ish-bosheth, who ruled after his death at the age of 40, would have to be born long before Shaul's anointment. Being Shaul's fifth child, he must have been born when Shaul was about 24. Now, Shaul reigned only 2 years. It followed that he was 60 when he became king. The account of his being young and handsome and his searching for his father's donkeys does not follow very well. If, however, we say that he reigned 17 years, after which Ish-bosheth was 40, it follows that when he was born, Shaul was 18 when Ish-bosheth was born, making at the age of his death, time is at 58. Hence, Shaul became king at 40 and reigned 17 or 18 years. That's the Abarbanel, not according to the traditional chronology. Now, I can't quite follow that one. But be that as it may, all I know is that clearly he's not learning like the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. If you turn another page, you'll see a photocopy from the Seder Adonis, which is one of the standard traditional Jewish history texts. And it reads that Shaul Melech Rishon, Mor Begilgo became Gilgo, Vayesha Begivon, and dwelt in Givon, Shnatz Beis, Alofim, Tuf Tuf Pei Beis. You can figure that that's the year 2882, according to the Jewish count. Then Nuntes Shonak Shenimshach, the Seder Olam says he was 59 when he became king, which is very, very difficult because he was young and looking for Kish's father's donkeys, and he was handsome and all that. And we're talking about a 59-year-old man. Hard to say, but that's what it says here. Uven Nuntes Shonak, he was also 59. Harag Nov Irakorani, when he killed our near old near Irakorani, which means it was the self same year, which means that he takes literally the Ben Shana B'malcho and 2 years Moach, and he says events happened very quickly, but he was already an old man because he had young kids. He had already older kids. What?
I understand what the 2 years. What does Ben Shana mean?
Ben Shana, he has a chazal that he was a big tzaddik. Because of Shalshos of Kabbalah, that tzaddik has some rares. Only if Shanoshim Shorak Shobanova, you sacked off, hey, so killed 405 people. Venisha, the also Ben Achimelech, etc. Okay, let's skip down a little bit. You see Malach Shnei Shanim? See that? Still in the black print. Malach Shnei Shanim was king for 2 years, Seder Olam. V'yesho Mimchof, some say 20 years. Rabag, which would make the 2 years here like a total satfus. Rabag and Shmuel Yud Gimel. V'yesho, and some say Shivasar. That's what you saw in the Barbanel. I don't know the Memayin is. Perk it out. Ein Shizos of Kabbalah, Vayim B'yuchsim Seder Adoros, Baz Ben Gurion, that's Josephus. Shemoach Yuchas Shonim Yimei Shmuel, that he was king for 18 years during Shmuel's lifetime. Ushnei Shonim Achar Mitzah Shmuel, and 2 years after Shmuel died, and actually I look it up in Josephus, and he doesn't say that. Says 18 years during Shmuel's lifetime, but 22 years after Shmuel's death. 22 years. Okay, which makes it all together. V'zei Yevshar, he argues, V'chulei V'koshkin Yevshar, Mashkos V'chach Me'umos, certainly not true that which V'chach Me'umos say, which is what Josephus actually says, Shemorach Arbo Shemorach Arbo Shemorach, that was king for 40 years. U'meshnei Shonimach, which is what Josephus says. U'meshnei Shonimach, Shmuel, he died 2 years after Shmuel, according to one true source, Avodas Chazal, but according to the opinion of Chazal, Meitz Acha Shmuel Avodas Shmuel only died 4 months after Shmuel. Because of Tzadik Dalet, I forget what that is, if he deals on now, Yishtomar, according to his Pshat, he has to say that which much because of Shmuel Avodas Shmuel, it says here, Ushnei Shorim Acha Yisrael, he was 2 years king on Klai Yisrael, Haidu Ach Nimshach David. So that's only until Shmuel anointed David. Mishan Vahola, even though he was king for a long time, he went after a while, he wasn't considered to be a full king. He was like a king without a crown, in other words, a diminished king. The Tzarek Lama had to say that the years of Shol and Shmuel, which are more than Yud-Alef, the 11 years accounted for by the Tanakh, Kipshuto, till now, hey, Muvoyim B'Shnos Soli, after the years of Valley, and it goes on. Akitzer Maisa, this is a big mess. Nobody knows how long Shol was king. Nobody knows how long he was king during the years of Shmuel. Nobody knows how to configure the events which happened till now. How long they took, how long Shaul went back home incognito, how long then it took for him to come around and fight the war with Nachash Amoni, how long him and Shmuel were co-kings, you know, reigning together, how when Shmuel died, how long Shaul was king after Shmuel died, how long he was king altogether, how old he was, when he was, how old he was, how old he was when he died, when his kids were born, how old Yonatan was, how old Ishbosheth was, nobody knows anything.
But we know how
it's a major, major mess.
They don't know nothing.
What?
Do we know how many years after David was anointed he became king?
No. We're clueless.
On that too.
We don't know. But a pashupshat is that David was a young child when he was anointed. 17, 18 maybe, and that the whole thing with Shaul dragged on, because we know he didn't become king till he was age 30. So Parshat Pshatim Sukkim is that it was much more than 2 years. That Shmuel met David as a young lad, anointed him. Shmuel then caused Shaul, then called David to be the menagen, you know, to play the music, and that the stuff dragged on. So when it says Ben Shano, Ben Shnei Shanim, this can't be literal. What do we do with this pasuk? Got to tear our hair out. I don't know what to do with it. But I think the best shot is like it says here, this to take the chazal, that Ben Shana is not kibshuto. It means he was a holy guy, a holy tzaddik, and he was kibrol chait, like a person who's a year old without any chatoim. And that Ben Shnei Shana taka means that Shmuel died 2 years later. because that will fit into
this
the psukim.
Yeah.
Shmuel died 2 years later, and till Shmuel, by from the time that Saul became from this point on, from the time, let me do it like this. Let me tell you what I think the pshat is. Shmuel made Saul king, Taka, relatively early, and the many years elapsed until Saul could assert his kingship. And then Shog finally asserted his kingship with his victory over Nachash Ammoni. And then the Chazal tell us they redid the Melucha. Shmuel gave his valedictory speech of this previous parak. And at this point, Shog was Kevin Shana Belochet. He was still a big tzaddik. In this parak, Parak Gimel, Shog is going to sin for the first time. A devastating sin, as a matter of fact, as we'll see next week. Now, he's Kevin Shana Belochet till now. And now he's going to sin. From this time that of the Chiddush HaMelucha, and many years perhaps had elapsed when Shaul was only a quasi king till now, from this time until David is anointed will be only 2 years. Then Shmuel will die. Then Shaul will still be king for many years, but he'll be embattled with David, and he'll be depressed, and he'll be gradually be eroding over time. And so ultimately Shaul will fade from the scene, will die at the end of Shmuel, towards the end of Shmuel. So Malach means
as a real
powerful, solitary king without David on the scene for 2 years. And then, yes. That counts though as part of his 40 years. The king having 7 years, for 7 years is part of the 40. So that happened from age 30 to age 37 of David's lifetime. So that doesn't help us at all. So in any event, so that's what it means here, Shnei Shonim Malach, before David comes on the scene. And ultimately, how old he was. He was probably very young when he became king the first time. By now, he's already a middle-aged man. And he died, not middle-aged, he's still in his 30s or 40s, in his 40s. But when he dies, he'll be about 58 or 59. Right? Because it does take time. And this pasuk cannot be taken kipshuto. We have a couple of more minutes.
What do you think about the shot that was given here about Shmuel living longer than 52 years?
I have a hard time with Abarbanel. I tell you the truth, I don't like Abarbanels. Abarbanel made too light of Chazal. He was a great man, obviously. But he made too light of Chazal. He liked Christian scholars a little bit. The shtickle of Moscow for his generation. It's difficult to say about Abarbanel because he's a big, holy man. And very, very accepted in Christ. So, but, you know, I can't deal with Abarbanel as being a Parsha Pshat. So I don't know about Shmuel. I'm not sure how to configure Shmuel's lifetime in with Eli and in with Shaul. A good word, perhaps, I saw today, Taka Trace Source. But it's a good word nonetheless. It says that Shmuel, and Divrei Hayomim even more, because, you know, Divrei Hayomim parallels Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Melachim. Divrei Hayomim almost doesn't mention Shaul at all. A very, very brief mention of Shaul basically is Avera and his downfall. I don't even know if mentions Avera. It just mentions his downfall at the end. And Sefer Shmuel also very focuses very relatively little on Shaul. Doesn't give us the events of his life with any degree of clarity. Because Sefer Shmuel is really written in order to highlight David. And Malchus based on it. So therefore, events which preceded are given short shrift. It's not like Sefer Shoftim, which focuses on the Shoftim as a totality. Sefer Shmuel is really Sefer David. And therefore, Shaul, we know very little about, and therefore we have many cryptic statements about Shaul, which are hard to sort through in retrospect. The truth is that...
It doesn't
No, it just gives us an understanding of why Pshat is hard to find. Hard to find. Right. Truth is, I really... If I start now, I'm going to go over time. If I end now, I'm going to end 2 minutes early. It's not a good choice here. I guess that the... Right? Let's do the Malvim on the first parak, the first pasuk. Malvim on the first pasuk is a page before. It's on the first page of the handout. Yud Gimel in the Dvar Shmuel. Ben Shana, Shir HaKosov of this week's handout. Shir HaKosov, the way to read the pasuk is Ben Shana Shol Mamalcho, Vayibu Shol Shlosh Alafim Ish Mishra, Shol picked 3,000 men. Ushtay Shani Malach Umar Mishko, the fact is 2 years is like a parenthetical statement. What Tomar means, Bishana Rishon Malchus, the first year of his reign, Loisa Daito Lelachim Adai. He still didn't have in mind to fight. Ki Adakam Hashem is biased, but a very interesting pshat the Maharam said. Kedagim Rishon is bias b'shana rishona. Shana rishona is not just a din of getting married. Shana rishona is a din of being king as well. The first year you consolidate what you acquired. Just like you consolidate your marriage in the first year of marriage, he also had in mind to consolidate his kingship. Every time you do something new, you do a shana rishona thing. Just like when you build a house, take a wife, binyan bayis, when you build a house, and aliyah l'shor, when you get authority too. For a year, you got to fortify yourself. Like it says, mi yashar erisesha, if you engage a woman, fashar bana bayis, build a house, etc. Cain wrote, aliyah l'shor, machuz v'shonach, so Shor also wanted to be home for 1 year. Lashkiach l'am, to pay control to the nation, pay attention to the nation, tell him he's got mechomis ha'ivayim before he starts waging war. And therefore, once he became king again, we knew the kingship, Shachasam Yisrael, he sent everybody home. The Lord Shir Tzor Rak Shlosh Tzor Rafi L'Mishmato, he only kept 3,000 people under his jurisdiction. Shkan Beisham Lo Yishem Mechbara, because even a tiny piece of king should not sit by himself. Bichol Kami, divide him up. Shalpayim Yuhim HaMelech, 2,000 should be with him, should have died to Lo Yishev his Pami in Michmash, because he wanted to be sometimes in Michmash. Pami Vahar Beisel, sometimes in Beisel, so he should have 1,000 each location. Yitzu El Bichol Mokom. Velvi made 1,000 people delegate with his son, with Yoyna's son. Ulam Hashem, and Yimach Shoyz, but Hashem disrupted his thoughts. Ki Basher Shmuel told him, according to the way we're learning Pshat tonight, many years earlier, there's going to be a time where he's supposed to wait for me 7 days. And here he's supposed to wait 7 days. And that was a Nisayon for him. And we'll see next week that this Nisayon, his first real Nisayon, Shol Mutz. And that even though he had very good plans to wait and not to wage wars and all that, Hashem, so to speak, laid a trap for him. Shaul fails, and therefore he's destined eventually to lose the melucha, and we'll stop here.